Do you have difficulty slowing down your mind? Let me say that again. Do you have difficulty slowing down your mind? Do you have a difficult time slowing down your mind? Now, some of you didn't hear the question because your mind is still elsewhere. Truthfully, isn't it? A lot of times we don't slow down. Solomon in Ecclesiastes, he calls it anxious striving. Anxious striving. If you have your Bibles, turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 22, 23. It says, "What do people get for all the toil and anxious striving with which they labor under the sun? All their days, their work is grief and pain. Even at night, their minds do not rest." Are you there? I have friends that are anxious. They have a hard time going to sleep at night because their minds don't ever stop. Now, we're in a series. The title of the series is How's Your Heart? How's your heart? Stop and ask yourself, repose, how is my heart? The first week, this is the third week. First week was self-examination. The second week was simplifying your life. And if you're joining us online today, we're glad to have you. The parking lot is dry and there's no ice or snow on it. You missed it completely. You're comfy on your couch with your coffee or your hot cocoa and marshmallows, but we have a full crowd in here today. Praise God. Amen. The parking lot is actually worse this week than it was last week. Disclosure. And if you're in Florida, it's sunny and 75 here. And you're missing it. But anyway, hey, we are in a series, How's Your Heart? We're glad that you're joining us. If you're first time here today, we're glad you're with us today. Now, today we're going to look at the spiritual habit of slowing down your mind. This is hard for me to do. And it probably or may be hard for you if you're a type A personality like me. It's hard to do. When your mind won't stop, I think about all the different possibilities. I extrapolate into the future. I am involved with every contingency plan. I like all of that stuff. I have a little bit of anxiety, not a lot. I have some feelings, not a lot, if you know me very well. In fact, one of our elders said, yeah, that one feeling that you have, Chris, you're just like me. So I hope you're asking yourself, since you're in church and maybe you have a Bible with you, what about Jesus? Did he have trouble slowing down his mind? What was on his mind? What was on Jesus' mind? Now hear this. If you're following along in your outline, Jesus consistently and intentionally created the space to hear from heaven and spend time with his Father. Let me say that again. Jesus consistently and intentionally created the space to hear from heaven and spend time with his Father. Folks, God wants to speak to you. Our Heavenly Father loves you, but you got to create space for that. He wants to speak to you and he's speaking to you, but your mind's so busy, you're not hearing it. And understand this, and I'm going to say this a few times in this message. There is no such thing as intimacy without intentionality. There's no such thing as intimacy. That means closeness in relationship without purposefulness, without intentionality, without planning. It's in your marriage, in your parenting, in your friendship, and in your relationship with God, there is no intimacy without intentionality. It happens only because you plan it and make it so. In other words, you cannot busy your way to God. You can't do it. There is no way. I have never met anyone close to God that didn't spend time with God. If you don't feel close to God, I would wager the house on you don't spend any time with him. Over and over again in the Gospels, we see Jesus withdraw from the crowds, from the demands, from the expectations, and do what? He goes to a secluded place to slow down in solitude and silence. He was God. He was God. If anybody understood God, it was Jesus. And what did he do? He slowed down. He went to a secluded place. He went to pause to pray and to hear God's voice, to hear his Father's voice. Mark 1 says it this way. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went to a solitary place where he prayed. And Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Do you ever feel that way? Where the phone, yesterday I was at a volleyball deal with my granddaughters and I didn't pay any attention to my phone. I have an Apple Watch and it must have buzzed like it just did right now twice. Sorry, I'm not answering it. And I was totally into that experience. And then I looked at my phone, I had 5 calls. Now, if you're a young mom, maybe you identify with this. Maybe you have some young kids. You go to the bathroom for some solitude and maybe do some business. And there's a little child scratching at the door. Their hands are underneath the door. Mommy, mommy, mommy. And you can't get away. You give, you give, you give. You pour out your cup and you're empty. Maybe you feel like that. Maybe you have days like I do where you get up, you run all day from out of bed until back to bed, and then when you lay down in bed, your mind starts racing because you said some things you might not have should have, and you think, oh, or you just pause for the moment and your mind's still going, and your cup is empty. Our Lord and Savior Jesus came to give you abundant life, life to the full, life to the max. But there's a person, a being, Satan, who wants to steal and kill and destroy you. And this is how he does it. Because your schedule's full and your cup's empty and you don't have any more to give. And you just got to stay on track, on focus, on purpose. Why? Why? You can't give what you don't have. You cannot give what you do not have. Jesus modeled consistently, intentionally. He paused. He created space. He withdrew. He did this, if you look in Scripture, before starting his ministry in Luke 4, 1 and 2 and 14 and 15, before he did anything, he spent time with God. In Luke 6, before making important decisions, he spent the night in prayer before he chose his disciples, what we know as his apostles, those 12 men that he poured his life into. After a long, hard day of work, when he had preached and he had taught and he had prophesied and he fed 5,000 people, he withdrew. After ministering and healing lots of people in Luke chapter 5, 15 and 16, he was worn out. What did he do? He withdrew. After losing a close friend, John the Baptist, after he heard he was beheaded, what did he do? He withdrew. He went to be by himself, alone with God. He modeled for us what we need to do when we're under stress, when we are challenged, when we are going through situations. Sometimes we need to withdraw. Why do you need to withdraw? Because you can't continue to pour out if you don't fill up. We need to fill up. And some of you, I know that you are on empty and you are all poured out, and you have done it with the best intentions, with the sincerity of a heart, but you've given it all. You poured it all out and you are burnt out. Occupationally, you're burnt out. You cannot do any more. You know how I know? Because I've been there before. And what are you afraid of? And I've got to ask myself, in my heart of hearts, what am I afraid of? And it's not getting it done. It's hard to walk away when it's not done. Things really bug me when they're not done. And I'm tired and I'm grumpy. And I can tell I am running on fumes and I'm running on empty. And so are you. Why does that all that happen? Because some of us believe our value is from what we do and what we produce. We think that if we don't do enough, accomplish enough, perform enough, give enough, do it enough, overachieve enough, we are not worthy, we have no value. That's what we believe. That's a lie from Satan. The psalm writer says it this way in Psalm 46:10. He says, "Be still and know that I am God." You aren't God. He is. That's part of being still, is recognizing who God is, creating space to hear his voice in your life, because he's speaking to you. But realize this, the Bible doesn't say, be busy, be responsible, be successful. Nope, it says be still. In Hebrew, being still means to cease striving, to stop, and hear this, anxious striving. I think we're expected to work hard, but this anxious piece of the striving is not what God intended. It is a peaceful understanding that God is always with us, and he's enough, and we are enough. When Jesus was baptized, he hadn't done any ministry. When he inaugurated the ministry, when he was baptized by John the Baptist, I love this passage in Luke 3:22. It says, "And a voice from heaven said, what? You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Now, I've said this before, and I'll probably say it again. This is the first time we know of in the Bible that God does an audible with Jesus, and he does two or three things to affirm him. First of all, he says, "You are my son." If there was any question in Jesus' mind who his father was, it was God. The voice confirmed it. "I am your father, Jesus." Number two, "Whom I am well pleased, whom I am proud of, whom I love." He hadn't done anything. He hadn't had to prove his value at all. Because guess what? God loved him like he loves you. God loved him for what he was, not what he did. The same is true for you. He loves you unconditionally. He will never love you any more or any less. He loves you. But what did Jesus do next in this situation? Jesus, full of the Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Now, what he did next was not what I would consider fun. I think yesterday or the day before was Quitter's Day on the New Year's resolutions. I can't imagine. Jesus fasted 40 days. 40 days he fasted. We believe it was a food. I don't believe it was a water fast, but it was a food fast. And so about day 10, I think I would have been, and he probably was really, really hungry. But after 40 days, I can't imagine how he felt, where he was spiritually. And that was when he was tempted. But recognize this. There is no such thing as intimacy without intentionality. There's no such thing. So how do you practice the spiritual habit of slowing down? How do you do that? Matthew 6:6, this is from the Message version. It says, here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role-playing before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense His grace. The way I do it daily is simply when I wake up in the morning, I will ask God to be present in the scripture reading that I do. I would challenge you to do something like that either the morning and evening. And then after I do that, then I have a timer on my phone, and I have a certain amount of time that I spend alone with God. And I ask God again. I said, Father, I need you to be with me today. Some days I don't even want to get out of bed. Today was one of those days. I had to talk to God into talking myself to get out of bed this morning. God, it's really nice here. It's really cold outside. I don't really want to go to church. And He would say, but you're the preacher. And I would say, I know, God, I need your energy and I need your help. I need your Holy Spirit indwelling and I need you to work with me because I'm not feeling it today, Father. And I have moments like that. I want to be completely transparent with you. It's a challenge at times. I'm a challenge for myself. I don't know if you have times like that. But then God, Spirit moves somehow and I get out of bed. And then I go through the drill. And then I might stop and say, I'm still not feeling God. And maybe you have that struggle too. But you press pause, you stop everything, you get alone with God. And in those moments, sometimes you get the word from the Lord. And I know that sounds a little crazy, but God speaks to you and you get an impression or you know what you need to do next. Sometimes if you see me driving around, I probably don't have my radio on. I'm having a little talk heart to heart with God. Sometimes I'll drive hours without anything other than stillness. Some of my best times alone with God. But understand this, it's not isolation, it's solitude. It's not isolation is when you run from others. I know some of you want to do that because I want to do that at times. I don't want the interruptions. But solitude is consistent and intentional, a deliberate pause to create space. That's what it is. Solitude's sole purpose is hearing from heaven and being with your Father. Hearing from heaven and being with your Father. There's no such thing as intimacy without intentionality. Really. Yeah, and you must prioritize, and it's not going to happen without you planning and making an appointment with God. However, it is. And my suggestions are this: find a place, find a time, and pause. That's hard. Sometimes you might need a day alone with God. This last Monday, it snowed last weekend. I don't know if you noticed or not around here. If you're in Florida, probably didn't snow there. This last Monday, we had Snowmageddon, and I was the only one here in the office. There wasn't a daycare going on. There wasn't school going on. That nobody called. I was solitude by myself. Nobody came by. It was reminiscent of COVID. It was awesome. I love our staff. I love our daycare. I love our school. But every once in a while, it's really, really nice around here. I had the opportunity. I love humanity. I just don't like a lot of people. You ever feel that way? Yeah. Okay, don't lie. I know you do. If you're really honest. But be still, sit in silence, solitude, seek God, and listen. I got to spend the whole day that way this last Monday and just say, okay, Lord, what do you have on my plate for this year? And talk about 2025 and what do you want me to preach and where do you want us to go? And it was just, you have to have those times. You got to carve those times out. Sometimes he just gives them to you, like Monday. And you let your soul talk honestly to God. Let him speak to you, and you speak to him, not the raw, honest truth of where you are, and getting in touch with that. You'd be surprised at what your soul wants to say to God. You might not even realize this because your mind is moving so fast and you are so busy that you don't even know. And in silence before God, surrender your illusion of control. I'm type A and I'm a controller. I know that, but there's so many things that are beyond my control, and they're beyond yours as well. And you can't do it anymore, and you have nothing more to give. So the habit of slowing down is to be still and then know that he is God and you aren't. And no matter how fast you go, you're never going to be able to do it on your own. You can't continue to give out if you don't fill up. You're going to crash and burn. You can make excuses or you can know God, but you can't do both. There's no such thing as intimacy without intentionality. You can't busy your way to God. You can't continue to pour out if you don't fill up with him. You've got to be still and know that he is God and that he is enough for you. The question is, how is your heart? How's your heart? Will you please stand as I pray? Eternal God, as we take this moment, and Father, I hope some people are thinking, boy, I need to slow down. I need to spend more time with you, Father. I need you in my life. And Father, for those of us who are in ministry or those of us that are living and trying to live for you, we need to fill up because we're running on empty and it's not looking good. And we need to repent and to take some time and allow you to speak into us, allow you to heal us, allow you to, Father, speak into our heart, into our life, into our mind. And Father, we need your energy because we don't have our own. Father, we're trying to do it with power drinks or super drinks or caffeine, and it's just not working. We need you, and we need all of you. And Father, help us in our unbelief. Help us in our controlling, in our desire to control, and to realize that you are in control, and you